Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking, I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
I'm Tricia Keffer from sunny Key Largo, Florida, your host for New Books in Architecture, a podcast channel on the New Books Network. If you have any ideas for books, please send me an email at plantspeoplelove@gmail.com. Today's book, it's very exciting, is Random Imaginations, a collection of illustrated musings by Eddie Chow, published by Oro Editions in 2018. Hi, Eddie. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Let's start with, could you tell the audience about yourself and your educational background?
I'm a landscape architect and also adjunct professor. I went to University of California, Berkeley for my graduate studies in landscape architecture. Since graduation, I worked primarily in the Bay Area and 3 years in New Mexico. More recently, though, my career sort of moved more onto the academic and education side. I was just recently, I'm the former program director of landscape architecture at UC Berkeley Extension, and I've taught landscape graphics, I've taught freehand drawing for over 20 years. Some of the schools I've taught at, UC Davis, UC Berkeley Extension, and now I'm teaching at the University of San Francisco and California College of the Arts. And primarily I teach freshman architecture students as well as continuing education students. I'm still a practicing landscape architect, but I really like teaching, and I find that sometimes I like working more with students and teachers than clients, to tell you the truth. This phase of my career, I want to pursue maybe more illustration, particularly in books. And, I'll always be a landscape architect, but, I enjoy teaching, and, I teach outdoor drawing, site drawing, freehand drawing, and it's sort of a passion of mine that I think, is important, especially when you have a lot of technical drawings in colleges right now.
So on that note, what was your motivation for publishing your sketches?
Well, to tell you the truth, when I first started, I didn't set out to publish anything. It just sort of happened. And I think when you do something you love and have a passion for, good things can just sort of transpire. And how this started was, I was just in grad school, late night in the studio, and being frustrated on a design project. I wasn't really getting any ideas that I liked. And I just, instead of resorting to my usual method of operation where I would flip through magazines and books and try to find a theme that I like and sort of, use that as an inspiration, I just grabbed a sketchbook and decided that I just need to draw on my own. I had a sketchbook that's like, maybe 6 inches by 9 inches, about 215 pages. And I just took out my, old Pelican fountain pen and started drawing rows and rows of inch and a quarter squares on the pages. And then within those squares, I just started drawing images from my imagination and memory. And that's how the balls got just started getting rolling. And, you know, once one box led to another, and pretty soon it started filling the page. Each page has 24 individual drawings on them. And I was just drawing things that came up to my mind, so a stream of consciousness, and it just sort of grew and grew. And then, the images range from, you know, cityscapes, landscapes, ordinary objects, a lot of interiors, a lot of abstractions, textures, and things we just see every day. And also a lot of imagined places. So this was, it came out of that whole design block, and, you know, I just needed to draw stuff that wasn't in front of me. And it was just an exercise I didn't really do on my own at that point. And I just thought that this was a good exercise, and it really was. And I just started drawing these things that had no rhyme or reason or organization, but just trying to draw things in my mind and bring it to life. And it just grew and grew. And, there'd be times I would draw 2 pages a day. Sometimes I would put the book away for weeks, but I always came back to it. And in the end, 25 years later, I filled the book with over 5,000 small black ink drawings. And it became sort of my little visual resource, sort of a library of imagery that I can use whenever I needed some ideas or inspiration. And, during the course of this, I made a promise to myself to, don't look at something and draw it, just draw something for imagination. And that's what I did. So that's how the book ended up. And it sort of came out of frustration, but in the end, it came out to something that, I've been happy with, and I'm glad I did it.
Oh, well, that's a great way to do it. Because their first go-to is I would go to books, and sometimes I like to go for a walk, but that's a great way. Just start just drawing things. And it's like your right brain, just your dream state just kind of starts taking over, and you just start sketching things out of nowhere.
Yeah. The title of the book's called Random Imaginations, and that's really what it is. There's no chapters in a book, because, it really is a replica of the original sketchbook. And like I said, when I did this, I had no intention of publishing this thing. And it was just random drawings of, for example, storefront windows, mountains, dinner table scenes, architecture, plan views of neighborhoods, one of my favorite little sketches is just the hanging ducks and chickens in a Chinese deli storefront, honeycombs, whatever. I mean, all sorts of random different things that we think of every day. That's, I think, things that just pop into our minds subconsciously. And I just sort of put it to paper, and it just sort of happened that way.
Well, I'm going to start with my first question. And I'd like for you to tell the audience, your opening drawing is beautiful, and it's done with silver point. For our audience that may not know what that is, can you tell them what is silver point?
I took up silver point about 8 years ago. And even before then, I always recall seeing that medium written somewhere in like museum exhibits or, in some books I've come across, but I never knew what it was. Then I started investigating it, and, I love some of the old master's drawings like Da Vinci, and, they use silver point. So I started investigating it, and it really is a drawing with metal. It's not just silver. I mean, I use silver myself, but people also use gold or copper. But it was used during that time before the invention of graphite pencils. So that's what people used to draw with, was metal. and they would take like a silver rod or a lead-shaped piece of metal and scratch it and draw on a prepared surface. And, you know, if you haven't used it, it's very, I guess, detailed and very, it's not as smooth as a pencil, I guess, maybe, possibly, but it has a great tone to it. And because it's metal, over time, it tarnishes and gives it like a warmer hue. So, you know, I think it's an underrated medium. It's a great medium, and I still like to use it. It lasts a lot longer than a typical wood pencil. And it's just a great medium. I someday I'll probably try to get try to use gold or copper, but right now I use silver. And actually, I was fortunate enough to do a drawing and participate in a group metal point show a few years ago at the Morris Graves Museum of Art in Eureka. And wow, I mean, there were some really great artists there that, and their work, it blew mine away. But it's, I just hope that, I think it's making a comeback. I see more people using it, but it's one of those old school mediums that people have sort of forgotten.
Well, I'll just add, yes, I've done a couple drawings in silver point recently, and a couple of things that I learned about it is that the unique thing is that it can't be erased.
Yes. I guess.
No, really. No.
If you think sandpaper is erasable, I guess you can't be erased with sandpaper.
No.
Yeah, you cannot erase it, but I think that's one of the great qualities of it. And when I draw with silver point, I just use silver point. I try not to quote cheat. I don't start with a pencil and draw over it. I use it like how the old masters would use it, without a pencil and eraser. And yeah, just draw. I guess you can cover it up, but with gesso or something. But yeah, but I think that's the beauty of it, is that once you put a line there, it's there.
Yeah, that it was the, what I learned is it's the, I could kind of hatch over it if I really screwed up, but I guess the whole point, when I learned it, it was the exercise was to, in that time, it was a show-off piece that you could just draw and you didn't erase.
Yeah.
And then you just could draw.
Yeah. It's, that's a good and bad quality to it, but the tones, I just find that it's really, in a way, it looks like pencil from a distance, but when you look real closely, it just has a different tone to it than a lot of pencils, and particularly gold or copper, and especially when it tarnishes, it's just a fantastic medium.
Yeah, I really love that sketch at the front of your book. That was really great.
Thank you.
And that was really cool.
That was offered by imagination too. So.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. So, well, all those images in the book work. So, in keeping with the theme.
That reminds me. It said in your little intro, you're talking about. You first kind of started. Maybe did you start with drawing just what was there in your studio room during your block, and when and why did you take off and just do imagination?
No, like I said, I made a promise to myself not to draw anything that I was looking at. And, in the past, it's so easy to draw something in front of you. But if someone hand you a piece of paper, say, draw something out of your imagination, a lot of people just sort of, they draw blank. I started doing it, I had never really done something like that before, not to this extent. And it was just a great exercise. And, it was still, somewhat frustrating. I mean, there were times where I had a mental block doing this and I just had to take a break. Cause like I said, each page has 24 little drawings, and drawing 24 drawings, I mean, that would, it can get actually pretty tiring. when I was in studio, the first drawing I did, there were, as I recall, there were, you know, a lot of architectural stuff, stuff from memory, things that I just sort of recently learned. But if you have the book and you sort of go through it chronologically, it's sort of, some of the stuff sort of changed, and it became more so, much more imaginary, much more abstract, and it would go, sort of go back and forth. But in the beginning, I sort of still sort of did stuff that was more, I guess the word is more real than imagined, but it's more on stuff I recall seeing. And then later I sort of did more imaginary stuff.
Well, that kind of leads, I got several questions here, and I was really surprised. I would tell the listening audience, this is a beautiful, cute book for just like, you know, if you have block and you got great hatching and everything, and then you surprised me, because you've got a couple of color drawings in here.
Yeah.
And did you draw those too, or?
Those were, those are paint, large 18 by 24 paintings on wood that I did. And, you know, working with a publisher, there's 5,000 small black ink drawings. And we just thought a good way to sort of break up the change of pace or bring a new change of pace was insert some of these paintings in that sort of had the same theme. Those paintings are also from imagination and remembering a place. And so the color, those three color drawings, you know, provide a nice change of pace and, but still kept the same theme. And they all, each one of them had a different characteristic, I think. You know, one was an abstraction, one is of a landscape, or two of them landscapes, but one is much more colorful, one's more black and white and have different moods to them. So yeah, that was the idea behind those three color drawings.
Well, let me ask you first, you have charcoal, the headlands, and it's a charcoal pastel watercolor. Is it ganache?
Gouache.
Or am I just
gouache? Yeah, it's gouache. Yeah. You think of chocolate like me, but those drawings, unlike the sketchbook drawings, were purely fountain pen ink. Those drawings were mixed media, combination of watercolor, gouache, which is a more opaque type of watercolor, with pastel and charcoal. And you know, that's, you know, I use a lot of different mediums. Like silver point, I like to use different things and not just be concentrating on one. And those paintings, I mean, I sort of did those, actually, now that you bring it up, I sort of did those, a lot of those at the same time that the sketchbook was going on. And, you know, maybe it was the result of the sketchbook. I don't know. I really don't recall that long ago, but they do have the same theme. It's just a different medium. Instead of 1 1/4 inch square, these were 18 by 24 inch pieces of wood. And I had the same theme, but just used much different medium.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you about your quote in here, and I want to tell the audience, I'll give the whole thing, it's short, so I'll tell the audience. I love ordinary common objects. They are often overlooked. The way they are composed with one another in our everyday lives tells a story. So my question is, how can common objects tell a story?
Well, you know, in sort of the course I help teach, you know, a lot of times you focus on a composition in rooms or interiors, even desktops. And, you know, I'm just looking around my room right now as we talk, and the way things are arranged, if you do the drawing of them, you can have a narrative that people can have, and different narratives. And the way objects are laid out, whether it be an open book, a coat on a chair, an open door, a lamp, I think those are great little images themselves that can have 100 different narratives. And so when I look around and see common objects, you know, sometimes I think, wow, you know, this can be a little story here or there. It doesn't have to be a moving picture. A still can be, you know, a great story in itself. So I guess that's what I meant. And Yeah, I mean, in the book, I drew a lot of common objects and tried to arrange them in a way that, you know, might be compelling in their own way. And I mean, I hope I did that. But I think, you know, I tell students also that, you know, common objects in them isolated by themselves may seem sort of ordinary or uninteresting, but together, you know, they can have a little story. And, you know, the idea is to make that story beautiful and those common objects beautiful in their own way.
Well, when you said that, it really, really made me think too. I was like, well, what's surrounding me? I got books all over the place. I got paper, I got my flute, I've got pens and pencils. I've got Monet's, my postcard from Monet's gardens right there in front of me.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know,
what story does that tell about me?
But you know, each object have, you know, they're beautiful in their own way. I remember when I was at Berkeley and they used to have these drawing competitions. I remember I saw one of the winners, their drawing, and it was gorgeous. It was just a simple handrail that went into a wall. And you know, that was probably better than any drawing of a sunset or waterfall that I ever saw. And so, you know, these objects, common objects, have a beauty themselves. When they're together, they create a story somehow.
Yeah, I could think of a thousand little things, stories with that. I suppose a handrail is a lot of different, a lot of different people going up and down and where they're going, what they're doing, how they're doing it, what they're thinking. That could be a lot of things.
Yeah, the light, the textures, everything, you know, they all work hand in hand.
And now I really like this one too. Of course, obviously, since we're both into landscape, we're going to like landscape pictures and paintings. And you have the Tennessee Valley. And tell me more about it. It's charcoal, pastel, watercolor, and chocolate on plywood.
No. Yeah, that is, if you're not familiar with the Bay Area in California, Tennessee Valley is an area that is in Marin County, which is just north of the Golden Gate Bridge. And I mean, that drawing, again, I hiked in that area before, and I came home one day and, you know, wanted to recreate that scene, but using simple lines and simple forms. And, you know, I really like simple gestures and lines, even in landscape architectural designs. You know, a lot of my drawings use simple lines and gestures, you know, very little detail, and use white space of the paper. In that drawing, if you're actually out in that scene, there's a lot of different textures going on, different trees, shrubs, mountains and oceans. But in that particular painting, I sort of concentrated on the lines of the trees as they follow the creek and how it led into the ocean. So, you know, simplicity is a big thing for me. You know, negative space, you know, helps frame the subject or let the mind of the viewer fill in the blanks. You know, blanks on a paper can be very powerful. And the simplicity helps filter out the unnecessary details and focus on the things that matter the most. So, you know, I guess that's what I was trying to convey in that drawing and that little quote.
Yeah, it is. And I'm looking through like some of your drawings, and yeah, you've got like plan views, you've got, you know, perspectives and sections and lots of use of space. Is there I'll throw you my stump question. So what's your favorite page in a book?
You know, that's really impossible. I mean, like I said, there's 5,000 drawings, 24 drawings per page, and there's like 215 pages. And, you know, there's one that I like more. Yes. I guess I don't have an answer to that. There's something I do like more. But if you notice, there's no page numbers on this book, so I can't even tell you what page it is. So, you know, when the publisher and I decided to do this book, we try to make it as the same as the original sketchbook as possible. The only page numbers are on the introductory pages. I think it's like 4 pages or so. The rest of it is just made to feel like the original sketchbook. So there's not even page numbers on it. I couldn't refer you to a page, but the drawings I do like, I think maybe I would say it's more towards the middle to the end. And because the reason was is that I think my drawings got better. When I started, I was still sort of a beginning grad student, still finding my way how to draw and sketch. And as the years went by, towards the middle of the book, I think my drawings got better. I was better with textures and line weights, and even the subject matters got better, the compositions. So I would say not a particular page, but I think from the middle section on, I think my drawings definitely got better. And I think you could sort of see, you know, chronologically the development of some of the imagery and artwork. I think, I thought it was better.
Well, I'll let you just open your book and just flip to a page, and I'll give you a second and tell me what you sure. I'll talk for a minute while you flip to a page. Yeah. And then just I'll let you tell me some of the things and your motivations or thoughts that came to you while you were drawing these. Because, yeah, they're so varied. I mean, you've got like lines going the distance, and you've got close-ups, and you've got oh, I see a house here, and it's definitely like looking at it sideways. And it just really musings. And yeah, some of them are very just simple. You got like a flag on top of a hill.
Yeah. And, you know, again, this is just lots of stream of consciousness stuff. You know, I will say, you know, after I finished the book and sort of reviewed it, there were some things where I could sort of tell that it reflected part of my life at that time or where I was living. And, you know, I'm not a religious person, but there are some sections in a book where I just noticed, my God, there's a lot of churches and crosses here. How did that happen? And I think it was because I lived in New Mexico at that time, in Santa Fe. And, you know, Spanish New Mexico, you see crosses and these, you know, powerful church, you know, imagery around. I think subconsciously, I just started sketching those things down. And also, around that time, I also was traveling through Europe a few years earlier. And, you know, those European churches were probably set in my memory too. So, even though these things are random, I think, as the years went on, some of the things I've drawn were things that were, you know, sort of part of my life in a way. You know, so a lot of things not, but a lot of things were. And you know, I'm looking through the book now. There's a lot of random stuff, but there's also a lot of stuff that I think a lot of things that I liked, the way some of the landscape forms that I've seen in the past were drawn here. A lot of textures that I like were drawn here. So it's just a lot of different things. And I really can't say that not one drawing is the same as the other. And yeah, it's just something that, you know, over 27 years of drawing, working on this book, it just became sort of a visual library. And I hope it just give some inspiration to some people in some way.
Yeah, definitely. I could tell it too, for the beginning of the book through to the end. Towards the end, you're really going into a lot more detail with your drawings.
Yeah, I think so. And I think I think the subject matters are more clear too, in a way. And maybe a little more varied too. I think maybe in the beginning, I had a lot of, I had a feeling I had a lot more buildings there and more architectural work and then later on I sort of more focused on more abstractions and textures and, you know, much more imaginary things. But you know, it, like I said, there's no rhyme or reason to this book, and it's completely random, you know, 5,000 little drawings of you know, things in my head, swirling in my head. And I gotta admit, there's a little bit of underlying humor in here too. So, so hopefully that the reader will get that.
Well, how do you use your book, or how do you use this process of just drawing in your own studios, and how can students or other professionals introduce this book in their practice or classrooms to for their own inspiration and teaching?
Well, you know, this was really like when I started out, it was just a personal project for me. I didn't really intended for other people to use it. It just sort of happened, you know, when this book was published. And me personally, I use it as a visual resource library, not just for design, but even for new artworks and drawings. It sits on my shelf and near my table. If I ever need it, I'll grab it and flip through it again, thumb through it. I guess it's like looking at a magazine again, but at least it's my own drawings, my own ideas. As far as other people using it, you know, I hope they use it the same way too, that, you know, if they ever need an idea or feel like they have a little bit of a brain lock, they can pick it up and use it and thumb through it and get some inspiration from it, or just simply enjoy looking through it and discover something new every time. That's perfectly fine with me. I don't think people need to use this professionally. If they can use it just as, you know, leisurely, you know, and just enjoy looking through it. It's sort of like reading pictures, not words. But you know, I hope it inspires people that they can start drawing things, not just by looking at something, but using their own imagination and, you know, and trusting themselves. You know, a couple of people say that, I think they've told me that, they actually use it as a de-stressor somehow. Just looking at it, you know, during times when they have some stress, they sort of flip through it, and I guess they find some kind of relaxation in it, and you know, that's great. Other people said they looked at it with their children, imagining stories as they look through the drawings, and actually, that's been one of my favorite comments about the book.
Oh, that's a great idea to just say, okay, take one of these and write a story about it. Write your own drawings about my drawing.
Yeah. Yeah, as a theme, or, you know, some kids, some parents, if you looked at it with children and, you know, they sort of treat it as like a little children's book. You know, they say, what's this? What's this? Or what's happening here? And the kids are imagining stuff on their own.
That's true. It is we don't have that anymore. A book with visual words instead of real words.
Yes. Yeah. And, that's what it was. And, you know, as far as students, I tell them, you know, you never know where drawings can take you, you know, whether it be a book of their own or even if they want to pursue some other fields, but you know, everyone has a story to tell. And I think drawing it out is a great way to express it, not just in words.
Well, that's kind of what landscape architects do. We do yes. visual words. Isn't
yes.
that right?
Three-dimensionally.
Dimensionally. I would like for you to, since we talked about this, like, we got to talk about all these little drawings. I'm going to let you pick a page and then just tell me where you, give me a second to flip to something, and then tell me, since I won't know what page you're on, I'm just yes. flipping through it too.
Yeah. yeah, I guess that's, there's a ribbon marker in that book. And I guess that's one reason we decided to put a ribbon marker there to sort of keep your page in the book, keep your spot in the book, since there's no page number. But again, it was part of the reasoning was just to keep the same flavor as the sketchbook.
Oh, I think so too. Yeah. Because yes, I didn't think about it, but sketchbooks have no page numbers.
No. Yeah. And
I try to always.
Yeah. It keeps with a randomness theme. It keeps with a randomness theme.
It does keep with a randomness theme. I'll let you pick something and then tell me what your thoughts were as you were drawing out your imagination.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, when I started drawing some of these, there'd be a lot of times where I have an image in mind. Like, let's say I'm looking at a page now where It looks like an old ladder on coming up to an adobe building, an adobe structure. And a lot of times I would have an image in mind and start drawing. A lot of other times, especially for the abstractions and imagining things, I would just start putting lines on the paper without knowing what I was going to draw. And there would be different textures and lines coming here. For instance, on one drawing, it looks like a road and a landscape leading off to it, leading off in the distance. And other drawings would just be, looks like tiles or mosaics on a floor. And I would, definitely say at least, half the drawings in a book started off with without a real preconceived idea what I was going to draw. I just started drawing and just let the idea come forward. There's on another page, a lot of ordinary objects, a lot of scenes from desktops, cafe fronts, a lot of architectural interiors, windows, excuse me. When you have 5,000 drawings, I think I've sort of run the gamut of of what I can think of. I can probably start another book. Not yet, at least not the style, but I think a lot of simpler drawings were just started with no preconceived idea in my head, and it just sort of developed as I started drawing. A lot of the other ones, I did have a strong idea, and those are more, I think, maybe a little more detailed, or a little bit more, I guess, would you say, more real rather than abstract. And yeah, I just think as I moved along, some of the same themes repeated itself, but again, it was just there's no rhyme or reason to these sketches, and it just sort of occurred as I was drawing, and whatever that may have been that time of day and or whatever year. This was done over the course of over 25 years, so it really spanned a long time, and it really it really captured a lot of the stuff that I've encountered, and I just try to draw them down and record them somehow.
Well, I think it's really inspirational, because you think about it. I just had a thought that, while we're looking through other books and stuff for ideas, really, what we all, maybe visual artists or people, tend to focus on first is pictures on a page before you ever read it anyway. So really, when I'm flipping through books, if I'm doing it fast, all I'm doing is flipping through and looking at the pictures and illustrations quickly anyway before I read anything.
Yeah, I buy a lot of books, and to tell you the truth, I buy them more for the images than the words. That's just the way I am. I like a lot of, I love drawings. I collect books of drawings. And yes, this book, there's two things I sort of consciously didn't put in this book. One was text, and the other one, for some reason, was faces. There's, there's a lot of drawings here, thousands of drawings, but I think there's only three drawings that has a face. And I'm not sure why, but yes, it's mostly objects and scenes and views and abstracts, but very few faces and very few text. I didn't want to spell anything out. I just is really a pictorial, and they say words are, I mean, pictures can be much more powerful than words. So I think each one has a little story in itself, and I hope, people enjoy it.
Well, I think so too, because I think there's, if you're looking for an idea, if it's not in here, I don't know where it would be.
Well, there's millions of ideas. So I just scratched the surface, but it was a years long exercise for me, and I'm glad I did it. It didn't start off that way. It just, things just, you never know what happens when you start drawing and what develops. And this was I'm glad I did this, and you know, I look forward to the next project.
Oh yes, yeah. I'll just tell those guys. Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, there are a bazillion different ideas out here, but I could definitely see this and then take more ideas from ideas and etc. So, well, Eddie, I'd like to thank you for so much for being here today and sharing this book with my audience. This is a real treasure. And I like, can you tell us, what are you working on now?
Well, right now I'm still, teaching, and I teach, freshman drawing courses at University of San Francisco and California College of the Arts. I'm still a practicing landscape architect. I do projects now and then, but I really like teaching. I teach, outdoor drawing, freehand drawing, and I would still like to actually pursue illustration, particularly book illustration, in sort of the next phase here. I actually, you know, want to do more graphic design and, you know, probably work on another book of my own. So, yeah, those are some of the things, stuff I'm working on now, but primarily teaching and a few landscape architecture projects.
Oh, well, excellent. Well, you'll have to send me those new drawing books for inspiration. Would you publish them?
Sure. Definitely.
Well, again, I'd like to thank you for being here today. And I'll let our audience know that this is the book is Random Imaginations, a collection of illustrated musings by Eddie Chow, published by Oro Editions in 2018. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
And again, I want to thank everyone for listening today. And your book is Random Imaginations, a collection of illustrated musings by Eddie Chow, published by Oro Editions in 2018. And this has been Tricia Keffer, your host for New Books in Architecture, a podcast channel on the New Books Network with a special mini-series in landscape architecture. Thank you for listening.